Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, citizens of Paragon and Millennium Cities, and those who play City of Heroes and Champions online. How are you? I had a great weekend. I'm worn out. It just carried over today. I'm tired. But hey, doesn't mean we're not going to have a great show tonight. This is Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Bogo Man. It's just a little bit after 8 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States of America here on planet Earth. We're broadcasting live from the Paragon Radio News Satellite. But I don't do this by myself. No, no, no. I get by with a little help from my friends. One of them, some say he's mad. Some say he's Viking. Others just say he's Mad Viking.
Turtle.
For those who recognize Dana Carvey's only movie.
That's right.
Master of Disguise.
Yes, sadly, yes.
I do that because it is World Turtle Day.
So all you Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fans, it is your day to celebrate. I should have had the theme ready, but sadly, it's okay. Otherwise, I just play it on repeat for the rest of the show. But it's, yeah. You know, by law, I can't. They tell me, no, you're not allowed to have it.
No, but we can do something. We can do something.
Yes, because... Why don't you tell everybody what?
Because today is a birthday for the one, the only, Grazzle Snorf.
That's right. So, for Grazzle Snorf, wait a minute, I should still be doing that. Wait, hold on. I was still doing that. I should still be doing that. There we go. I keep playing the guitar. All right. Yeah. So, for Grazzle Snorf, this goes for you.
And She-Hulk.
They tell them?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, and She-Hulk. All right, splashing around by the green orbs. That's right.
Yes. On both games, for us in the Air
right.
Man Champions, we got a whole bunch of yays. And for Seahawk, yes.
For both. We yays all around for us. Yays for Seahawk.
Yes. We'll play the metal birthday for the Seahawk.
Okay, we'll do that next. He's having cookies, eating cookies, bouncing around, getting into mischief, stopping mischief.
Okay, there's for Graz.
All
now
right.
Let's hit the She-Hulk.
All right.
Let's play the one for She-Hulk. There we go.
Let me get that one there. All right, this one for She-Hulk. It's a heavy metal happy birthday celebration.
Oh,
There you go.
There you go.
I think. Okay, we got the birthday music tributes out of the way. I think we're good now.
Yep, I think so.
Okay.
Last call for birthdays. Going once.
Last call.
Going twice. Three times a lady.
Okay, that's it. And roll call. Let's see who we got here in the WCOC studios in Millennium City. Yeah, Natalia Kromstock. We can just go down the line. Look at this. Natalia Kromstock. Silver Regret. Mordecai. Alan. Clarence.
Yeah,
Mr.
They're
Nom
uniform.
Nom. That's right.
They're in uniform just, there.
That's right. They're in parade uniform. They are in parade uniform, sir.
On City of Heroes,
Natalia.
We have Psychic Sigh. And that's it.
My psychic was here.
I've been listening.
We're here. We're in both games.
Well, he's listening. He's on the chat on blogtalkradio.com along with
Very
Bloody Wolfie. There we go.
Okay. There you go. And we are in all three locations. Imagine that.
There you go.
we are everywhere.
And if they want to call in and give a happy birthday to any of the two or talk about something we have talked about, how can they do that, Pogo Man?
Well, there's only one way I know of, and that's to use the guest call-in line at 714-583-6908. Again, that is 714-583-6908, and that's our special super-duper guest call in line. There you go. Call that number. If I don't catch it right away, just hang out a few minutes and you'll be on the air soon enough.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we are warming up here in America for Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
And when I mean warming up, yes, we're getting close to summer.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I went to one of my cousin's 40th birthday parties on Saturday in New Jersey.
Oh, God.
Holy mackerel.
I heard 100 degrees in Jersey.
Ooh, it was night. No, it wasn't 100. He was in the heart of New Jersey. He was close to the New York border. It was 97 degrees. We went on the Tappan Zee Bridge. And let me tell you, we didn't realize they had redone it. And we're like, why does the Tappan Zee Bridge look so futuristic all of a sudden? It was 97. I took a picture. My brother-in-law drove, so I took a picture of his, the digital display and all that. Hold on a second. I'm not kidding you, man. It got up to 97. And then the funniest thing was, by the time we got home that night, 77 here on the island. It was like, what? That's crazy.
Meanwhile, rain is probably going like, I can still wear a sweater on that one.
Yeah. depending where you live, you're not used to that, or you might be used to that. You know, like I said, I remember one year I was in college, and a friend of mine, he got out of spring break. He went to a local college, different college than mine, and his spring break was a week later, and we had made plans to go down to Florida, for spring break that year. Well, I was like, gee, I think we might be kind of close to spring break. Their spring break was a week after everybody else's spring break season. we landed, and picture this, we landed, right? Mm-hmm. And the last spring breakers had just, like the last of the spring breakers, like the ones with the hangovers, were flying out of Florida. And here we come landing in for spring break action.
Well, I lived in Florida quite some time. So
right.
What you're
and
telling me, you are coming into Bartender's Week.
I guess so. And this was like 92. And I'm sitting there going, are you shitting me? Everywhere we went, there was nobody our age group. It was either families around or people older than us. It's like, where are all these families? And they say, because they knew, they know, you know, these are all people. They go, oh, honey, this is the best week to come down here. Spring break is finally over. This is the week right after spring break. It's so relaxed down here. This is when they have the discount. This is like discounted. They seriously, they say for families, they have discounts this that week. It's like, no wonder we got everything so cheap.
Unless you go to the Florida Keys. Because
we did go to the Florida Keys. And
that's
let me
where
tell
all
you,
the
though,
bartenders go.
And they were, let me tell you, the Florida Keys we were trying to go down to, we had Key Largo.
Uh-huh.
We had vacancy. We got a hotel there. Ooh. We had a vacancy there. And it was funny, I called my mom there. We were joking around because she'd always seen the movie growing up. So I took pictures. We had pictures. We took him to an hour. We took him to a 1 hour photo. The guy didn't know what he was doing. Messed up all our pictures.
Oof.
We had no pictures from the vacation whatsoever.
Oh, God.
We're like, what?
Now,
he's like, yeah.
Just...
are you fucking shitting me? This is the reason why I think cell phones and cameras and phones were developed. Because this shit. It's like, what do you mean? And every online was, there was a riot happening. It's like, because we wanted our pictures to look at on the way home. It's like, we should just wait until we got back home, had them developed, you know, and we could have had them done normal price. You know, we could have just had them fucking done, you know, because, like, I got paid on Friday. We were coming back on a Tuesday. We had to stay a day late because our flight was overbooked.
Oh, God.
So I had to give my mom all the numbers to my teachers because I was supposed to be back Monday. I was like, call my teachers. We're overbooked. And I came in, and it's like, I told them all. I was like, I have no pictures. It's like, what happened? And I told them all. It's like, we have... And I had to keep a journal. I was like, I kept a journal and pen, and I was like, I had pictures. You know, I had to read this thing in 50 pages. You know, they're like, oh my God, and they're like, you had, and like, I kept very descriptive. Like, it's very, it's great. I wrote very descriptive of what happened, but I mean, we went down to Sanibel Island. I don't know if you guys know where that is. It's on the Gulf Coast of Florida, and in the distance. There's the Sonesta Hotel. And in the distance on the Gulf side, they have mango islands, they call them. They're small islands. And this, our last night there that we were staying at this place, the sun sat perfectly over one of the islands. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the world down there stood outside. This is like the world's most perfect sunset. Right? If nobody had a camera, they were running to the gift shop to get a camera just to take a picture of the sunset. We had our you know, disposal cameras. We're taking pictures. Their mom went, my friend's girlfriend and her mom went, and they're taking pictures. She had a professional camera. She's taking pictures and this and that. And I'm sitting there with our little disposables just taking pictures, you know. Oh, this, I'm like, what are we doing up here? We're taking pictures of the screen. Let's go down to the beach. It's like, yeah, fuck this. Let's go. Ran down. The sun is still sitting over this island for like 45 minutes. Like, oh, my God. It's like the sun is giving the entire world down there a chance to take a picture of it before it sets. And it's like the sky is turning red and orange, and I'm painting the picture. I'm not doing this justice, okay? It's like, oh, my God. And me and her mom went to the store, right, to get some snacks or whatever. Like, oh, my God, look at that. I hope we get back in time to get pictures. She's like, I really hope so, too. We got back. We ran upstairs. Like, do you guys – he's taking pictures. I was like, fuck that. Let's go down to the beach to get pictures. Everybody's like, great idea. So we grabbed the camera, ran downstairs. We're taking pictures. People are jumping up in the trees, jumping up in bands, taking pictures. We're fighting for spots on the beach to get pictures. And it was just unbelievable. Like, we lost those. We're doing like panoramic views of this picture. We didn't get a picture of that. We didn't get anything like that.
Oh, God.
Like, I don't believe. I described this sunset to my mom that night. I'm like, I think we got pictures of that. We took plenty of pictures for everybody. No, we lost that.
Oh, God. Now, let me explain here because Obviously, you did not get near enough to where the action was. Spring break,
no.
You could say, are the amateur drunks. Bartenders week is the professionals. These guys can party. I'm trying to think of one I can say on the air without getting myself, you know, all of a sudden we cannot air this episode. What was that?
Well, remember, statute of limitations. What year are you talking about?
All right. We are talking midnight. Okay, I got one. This one bartender from, let's see where she was. One of the blues bars in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
And sooner or later the name's going to come to my head. But,
okay.
Now, Fort Lauderdale, what does this mean? Yeah, there's going to be some plastic surgery. Yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah.
Guess where? So, they were doing like a contest, and she's going to have a rum and coke with a beer chaser.
Okay.
She has a glass of rum in one hand,
mm-hmm.
glass of coke in the other hand, and between the breasts, which are highly lifted, was the
right.
beer bottle. She pours a little bit of the rum in one hand, in her mouth, takes the coke, puts a little bit in that mouth, grabs the bottle with her mouth, lifts it up, puts it right back in.
Wow.
Like I said, these are the pros.
Yeah.
If there's a way to get drunk, either they found a new way or they reinvent it. And when I was DJing karaoke there, I always made the best money on Bartenders Week.
That's cool.
So, yeah, you were in Key Largo. You had to go a little bit farther. You had to go to Alamorada or Key West.
Well, you know, the problem was, like I said, every place was booked.
Because
we drove down.
Yep.
Yeah, like I said, it was the week after. It was the week after. And it didn't say welcome bartenders. Nothing said anything. We didn't know what was going on. It was just everything was booked. We drove that. We drove the whole length of the Keys, and we came all the way back. It was like, wow.
Yeah,
everything
was
booked.
That's why, because like I said, Key Largo is kind of like for those who did not plan ahead. And that's the same also with Marathon.
You guys did not plan ahead.
You get the one hotel that's in the back of the mangrove area.
Oh, God. Well, you know, like I said, the Sinesta Resort, fabulous place to stay. Then the rest of the week, the end of the week, we were trying to find someplace else because the rest of the week, we were going to wind up staying at their aunt's apartment for a couple of nights or whatever. And let me tell you, that sucked. Because we stayed like one or two nights before we went back home. And that was just... like the first 2 days we stayed in... we stayed in Key Largo. We stayed Key West the first, and that was a lot of fun because that's where we went. Like, we went snorkeling, wave running, that beach. Then,
tell me you went to Duval Street.
Which is that? You got to remember, it was me and him, his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's mom.
Oh, the mom. Never mind. You did not go to Duval Street.
Right. So it was. We went to some place, something, the Pink Flamingo, some kind of restaurant, and it was in Playboy. It was mentioned in Playboy as being one of the best restaurants.
Yeah, yes.
To go to.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, that. So we went there. I got a tank top. He wound up buying a thong from there to put in his truck. The mom thought it was funny. She thought, the girlfriend thought she was going to have to wear these. She's like, nah, I'm just going to put them in my truck. So.
so you did not go, yeah, so in other words, you did not go to Sloppy Joe's.
He heard about that. He wanted to. But again, it was like, she drove. And we were going to rent a car. We wanted to rent a second car. So we go around. It's like, nah, you guys could just take the car, you know. We're like, nah, I'll just drive wherever you guys want to go. It's like, you know, it's like we had a list of places we wanted to go to. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It was like I had a couple places I wanted to check out. And it's like, she basically wanted to go anywhere they wanted to go to. And he felt bad. Like, any place I wanted to go to, no. No, it's off the list. It's off the fucking list. Because it was like, I was asked at the last second to go. Because the dad couldn't go. Otherwise, I wouldn't have gone at all.
So,
my grandmother thought it was funny. It's like, aren't you going to Disney World? Like, no, we're not going to that part of Florida. So,
well, if you like, were there for Fantasy Fest on Duval Street, yeah, that
yeah, that's a different, yeah. We did go, yeah, we did go to South Miami Beach, the strip down there. That was
AFK.
That was cultural wise. That is pretty cool because there was a Turkish bathhouse, a coffee house, a flamenco bar, and it's like all these things are lined up next to each other. And it's like culturally, it is so diverse, right? Lined up next to each other. It's like, how do you get a Turkish bathhouse, a flamenco dance bar, and then I forget what kind of type of coffee house it is. It's not like a regular coffee house. It was a special type of coffee house.
Well, you go to flamenco dancing, you get drunk, then you go to the Turkish bathhouse, steam out the alcohol, and then
you go
to the food.
And then you go to the coffee, right, and they had a food bar. Then they had a food place, and it was like, wow.
Exactly. And therefore, then you could drive because all the alcohol got steamed out.
Right, and then across the street, from the strip is the famous South Miami Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there you go.
Now, the reasons why we talk about all these vacations, because next week there will not be a Paragon radio show.
That's right. That's right. The boys are taking a week off for Memorial Day, barbecues, whatnot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Can you just give me a few minutes? Keep talking.
Okay.
I am being summoned to the other room. Something's going on. I will be right back.
All right. So, yeah, like I said, next week we will not be on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I may do something on DawnRadio.live to continue it on. And we will see what happens from there. Okay. And, all right. Yeah, I... nice little reminder. Did Rain remember? Those who were like me that had any hope that she would remember, we lost. At the moment, she's in the category of she forgot. We have not gotten to she forgot and blamed me because she hasn't shown up yet. So that part is still in play. Oh, God. Now, remember, I was the one that was having hope. I had hope. But, yeah. And so... All the women, if you want to tell her to turn in her woman card for, once again, the men remembering the anniversary, and the woman forgets, yeah, I'll just step away, I'll step back and just watch the fireworks. But it happens, it happens, it happens. All right, yeah, the first thing, I don't know if I don't want to start talking about the new She-Hulk trailer with and the Titans Cross. To be honest, I forgot. Then again, this is something, yeah, true. You don't have to remember. I swear, if I ever forget the day, that's when rain will cast down the hellfire on me. That would be the day. Hopefully Mordecai will go, hold on at the hellfire. No. He was allowed one. But anyway. Like I said, I don't want to start talking about the She-Hulk with the latest trailer without Pogo Man, because I know he has got a comment or two on it. Let's see. And I don't have anything from Ship of Heroes, and I don't think Pogo Man found anything on City of Titans. So that spares him on that category. And wait a minute, what's this? Oh, no, no, I thought it was somebody. No, it wasn't. Yes, I had to check City of Heroes over on Atlas Park just to be on the safe side. And nope, Psychic Psy is right there, AFK'd, but is still there. There we go. Let's see. All right, I can mention about this one, this, and I can get away with this one here. Those who remember the 90s, Marvel went to a stint once a year to do a swimsuit issue. It was, I don't know why they did it. I don't know the reasoning of why they did it. But they continued for some time before they finally gave up. Well, I guess DC didn't learn, because coming in August will be the DC swimsuit issue. That's right. You get to see the Bat Speedo. God, that sounds bad already. The Bat Speedo. And many other heroes, villains, vigilantes, anti-heroes in swimsuits for DC Comics. Marvel has not come close to thinking about it. Marvel stopped. DC, for some reason, is going to do it this August. Yeah, so Pogo Man will probably be going like, first it was the bat nipples, now it's going to be the bat speedo. Oh, God. I don't know if I mention that and give him that image.
What image? What image? What image?
I was talking about the how Marvel, a while back ago, did the swimsuit issues in the 90s.
Oh,
and
DC right.
is going to do it this August. We're going to see the bat speedo.
Oh, good Lord. Wait a minute. We've seen something like that. Hold on. We see no, Batman. Yeah, we don't need, they've done it. That's so 90s. I mean, you know, it's like 90s, it's like 90s retro. We've done it. I don't know, man. You know, once they cross that line, what we've seen it before. They've done it already. Jeez.
Well, Marvel did it. DC didn't.
Right. But you know what? It's like when DC did the New 52, it's like, remember all the times Marvel rebooted and we criticized the House of Ideas for having no ideas? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to do it. Stop. Don't do it. No. Oh, they're doing it. No. No, don't do Flashpoint. No, don't. No. Oh, yeah, do Flashpoint, but then come back. No. Oh, no. They're rebooting. No. They rebooted. New 52 is here. Fuck, it sucks. At least the Batman is, you know, at least. And then it got to the point, well, the only thing good out of it I heard is Batman was okay. But still, it was just, seriously?
I'll avoid mentioning the political parties. I'll just paraphrase Lewis Black. This party has to prove they can mess up. The other party has to prove that they can mess up better, faster.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like when Marvel made a deal to Grumman that time at New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con, and everybody criticized them. Kazlstock is saying Fear Me Immortals. Okay.
Yep.
Why? Why? I don't know why. But
Kazlstock.
But nobody knew what was going on, and everybody just criticized Marvel for a joint venture with a military, you know, for making a deal with military warlords and blah, 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 and this and that. And instead of sticking to the guns, just wait to see what we're going to do. And when rumors of the news thing at Comic-Con was so big, when news got out, the hate for it was so, you know, it was in such high volume, Marvel just backed out of the deal. When finally somebody had the wherewithal intelligence to say, oh, by the way, what was the, you know, finally somebody asked, by the way, what was the joint venture going to be? And it was going to be something to help kids with learning disabilities be able to learn better via technology. Everybody who said something negative felt like such jackasses. They said, well, can you still do it? No, because the way you said it, we just felt the deal fell apart. And we have the copyright. Grumman has their copyright. We both went our separate ways saying it's not going to work. We just folded the deal. You know, I felt like saying to every, you know, left-wing liberal who pointed out how horrible this is going to be, way to go, assholes. All you see is Marvel being a right-wing conservative party, siding with another right-wing conservative, and just making some kind of weird deal that you didn't bother to take the time to read the fine print.
Well, everyone wants us to talk about it. Let me bring it up.
What? What?
The new She-Hulk trailer where we actually see She-Hulk.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, oh, my God, we see She-Hulk. Holy crap. It is the new trailer. I thought it was a joke. I'm like, I'm not falling for it. Oh, my God, it is the new trailer.
Now, it's gotten mixed reviews. Due to the fact of the CGI factor, but the face is CGI.
Right. Well, what do they expect? I mean, seriously, what did they expect?
And some people go, they could have found a very tall, athletic woman and just filled it in.
No.
One person on YouTube, and this gives you an idea how far off base and ignorant their answer was, said, why didn't you get China? Because she's dead.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she died about 5 years ago. She died at least 5 years ago, you moron. Oh, yeah. Because China played She-Hulk. Look, I looked it up. Yeah, you're looking at the wrong. Why don't you watch that all the way to the end and see what happens there?
Yeah, I don't remember She-Hulk getting that.
Hold on. And it's pretty accurate because China has a romance with Thor in this video, and that's what happened in the comics. Yeah, keep watching that video and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we could show that on the TV show on Disney Plus, by the way.
No. But I'm going, you know, I was actually watching the YouTube. I'm going like, you actually mentioned China.
Yeah, at that point, you got it. Somebody's got to mention.
2022, you mentioned China.
Yeah, now look her up and see what year she died, you moron.
Yeah, you know, yeah, some people say the CGI was pretty good.
I remember. This is a trailer. They could always touch it up. It's not coming out till the end of August, 1 week before my birthday, as a matter of fact. But hey, you know, they could always go in and touch up the CGI. before then. I guarantee you they're still working on it. It's May. That came out last week. It was May, 17th, May 16th.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 months, no, 3 months. They had 3 months until the trailer came out 3 months before. They have to work. They have to release it. So I guarantee you they're still working on it. Any imperfections, they're working on it.
Now, they are also putting it, you know, they're saying it's a superhero. It's also a lawyer story. But they're also putting in the comedy because right at the end, you see, you know, She-Hulk's interested in a guy. And just as at the end of the trailer, She-Hulk is carrying the guy
to the bedroom. Yep, I think that's funny. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm glad they're going through the sensational She-Hulk years.
It felt like the Savage She-Hulk, the first series, so.
Mad and Rain.
That's funny.
Okay, guys. No fair.
That's funny.
Well, you know, she forgot the anniversary. I might call her, I have a headache today.
Psychic Psy. Hold on. Psychic Psy brings up a good point. Don't remember folks crying about the Hulk, CGI, and Avengers, so.
No, not in Avengers. They were crying in the Eric Banner Hulk, and
yes,
they were crying in what's his name?
Ed Norton.
The Ed Norton Hulk. They were complaining about the CGI with those.
The Ed Norton one was fine. I mean, but the Eric Banner one, there was just so many problems with that movie. I mean, the final fight, it was completely dark. They're fighting underwater, complete darkness. Like, great. You can't see the fight at all.
Yeah, but...
Really?
Come
on.
You know, I guess with the CGI Hulk, when it got to Mark Ruffalo, third time the charm.
Yeah, well, by that point, I think they had it right. So, I think they finally got CGI technology down, you know.
And so now we're dealing now with the CGI argument of the She-Hulk.
Right.
You know, like I said, you know, everyone's gonna, you know, there's gonna be a complaint. China. I'm glad they didn't mention Nicole Bass or something.
Oh, Jesus Christ! Yeah, let's mention somebody else is dead.
Like I said, that's coming in August. Mixed reviews. You be the judge. You make your own decision. But like I said,
they are going with the comedy bit. There's one comment that the CGI is so bad. It looks like she's Fiona from Shrek. It's not that bad. Oh, my God.
All right, so between us, we liked it, doing the sensational She-Hulk. I haven't seen a fourth wall break yet. Not yet. If they do start breaking the fourth wall, Howard the Duck and or Deadpool has to show up. It's a rule. Howard the Duck was the first to break the fourth wall in Marvel. Deadpool made it more fun.
Hold on. I'm looking at something here. There's something about her feet.
Oh, no. CGI made by Rob Liefeld?
Oh, no. It's like this. I can already tell that the She-Hulk show isn't for me because there's a shot of her feet bursting out of her shoes and not one of her arms bursting through her shirt sleeves.
Wah.
Okay, then somebody comments, I know it's not true to the comics or whatever, but I love a buff, massive She-Hulk like late 2000, Mamacita era China. Oh, he's comparing to China, not, you know, East China. If she was 9 feet tall, would be perfect. And then somebody else says, compared to, they think that they're making her too thin and dainty compared to She-Hulk from the comics.
They could be trying to compare to, remember, there's a new generation. When they see She-Hulk, they got the, what the hell was that, She-Hulk? You know, where she pretty much, hulked out. Yeah.
Right. Hold on. Then somebody goes, the CGI in the She-Hulk trailer is awful in the kind of way where you just left baffled why they didn't paint Titania Maslany green, give her some big prosthetic muscles, and then do trick photography / forced perspective to make her look 7 feet tall. It's not rocket science.
Because Titania was not gamma radiated.
Right.
Titania.
Another fan.
Was...
Oh, God. Another fan compared She-Hulk CGI to the Scorpion King, which is renowned for featuring terrible computer work. Yeah, that was awful back then. The very first time you see the Scorpion King, that was horrible. That was awful. Lastly. This fan admitted that it was hard to give Marvel slack for the poor CGI when they have a high budget for every episode. It's hard for me to give She-Hulk any slack for the CGI when these MCU shows have more budget, have movie budget. She-Hulk is 10 episodes with 10 to 15 million to spend per episode. That's enough of a budget to make a green lady look legit. Well, actually, it's 9 episodes.
It's for the one that was talking about Titania. Like, Titania was never green, never gamma-rated. If we're going to go original storyline, Dr. Doom just pumped up the strength. That's it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to build up Titania in the series. It would be interesting to see if they bring in the Absorbing Man and or Volcana. Since all three were there for the Secret Wars. Titania meets Absorbing Man then. Volcana was the other woman that was experimented on by Dr. Doom. Just forgotten to the wayside. There was actually a time they were trying to make Volcana a hero back in the 90s.
Right.
I wish they kept on going with that one. I mean, I saw the small stories. They were actually, for 5 pages, it was rather well-knit story.
No, that's Marvel for you. They got to ruin everything. it's almost like WWE today. Anytime they got a good story going with wrestler, they release them, halfway through the storyline.
Well, not this time. No. This time, two walked out.
No, actually, they didn't say that. They said that they walked in, and actually, they said they never showed up. They were trying to talk about creative storylining, and Vince wouldn't budge. They wouldn't, because they wanted them to do something stupid.
Well, remember, this is WWE. They announced, this is what WWE announced on air. They walked into the office.
Right.
Dropped the belts, walked out.
Well, you know what? That's what they said. What's being told, what the real story is now, they showed up. They didn't even show up to the place. They never showed up that day.
Sounds familiar? I was like, how many many people can we think? Let's go wait. Let's start with Bret Hart.
God.
And for some reason, I'm waiting for Raw. They're going to kind of edit the usual chant. They go, you screwed Sasha, you screwed Naomi, you screwed Sasha.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, all the people he screwed up? This. All right. Okay. Say what you want about Vince Russo. He sucks. But back in the 90s when he was still working for Vince, he said to Vince, and he said to Russo, I'm glad you're here, and he wanted Russo to be one of the guys that took over for him and his kids. He says to him, I want people to take over because I don't want to be 70, 80 years old and still be hands-on, right?
Right.
He says, here he is, 70, 80 years old. He is more hands-on now than ever before, than he was back in the day, like when he was there. Like when he was there, he had writers and he let them do their thing. Now, you can't do anything without his approval.
You're AFK.
Okay. There's like meetings between the writers, right, and whatever. And then there's the meeting with Vince. And like when the network started, they had a guy who was going to be a pirate. And they had him start acting. Yeah. You remember when he started acting like Jack Sparrow for a little while? Mm-hmm. And then that stopped. Yeah. Vince didn't know who Jack Sparrow was. Because Vince only watches the network. And he's like, well, who the hell is Captain Jack Sparrow? You know, Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, is that on our network? No. Well, he called a meeting. Why are you people watching anything but the network? It's the number one movie in the world right now. Wait a minute. So when you guys leave here, you watch stuff besides the network? How dare you? Yeah, Vince, we date people and we have to take them out. You know, we go out to see other things besides. You know, this is how we get our ideas, Vince. We don't regurgitate the network. We see other things. That's how we got the idea. They went through a list of every idea they've had for people. None of them were regurgitated from the network. This is what he does. He watches the network over and over again. This is why a lot of shit he does is rehashed. The 80s from the 90s. Because all he watches is the network. That's what he does, kids. This is what he does. And, like, now Bischoff was comparing AEW, like, talking about some of the things they do. And it's like, oh, it wouldn't take me this long to do that and this long to do that. And I think it was Jericho. And it's like, Bischoff thinks, and now Bischoff, he thinks it's the 90s again. You know, he's talking about how AEW does things and he could do it better. It's like, yeah, Eric, if this was the 90s, WCW could do this stuff, you know, would do it better. But this isn't the 90s. You can't do it. AEW is doing it the way it should be done these days. That's why they're winning right now. That's why it's such a good product. Vince is acting like it's the 70s and the 80s again. Maybe the 90s, but...
It'd be worse.
Again. I don't know how much worse.
They could bring back the gobbledygooker.
Shh.
We have to remember Stephanie has stepped down from leadership.
Not only that, on her LinkedIn account, she erased any mentioning of WWE, what she did WWE.
Oh boy.
So there you go.
Bastion Booger. Oh god.
And I think it's funny that she stopped mentioning it because that's where she. Oh god, Bastion Booger. That.
Well. segue. I say we go right to it. Speaking of regrettable characters.
Oh, good Lord. All right, yes. Yes. We went to the tomb earlier to get the tome. I did it right this time. I said it right. Yes. We've mentioned some pretty amazing heroes tonight. And then these guys, those half-baked heroes from comic book history, members of the League of Regrettable Superheroes. Heroes. Let us start with a journey to the Golden Age, shall we? This character was created by Bill Everett. Debuted in Victory Comics number 1 under Hillman Periodicals, August 1941. He was last seen moving inexorably toward Berlin.
Oh, no.
He can be quoted saying, "I am going to rid the world of Adolf Hitler." I speak of none other than the Conqueror.
Okay.
Not every hero possesses such clarity of purpose that they know what to do with their superpowers the minute they get them. But self-doubt isn't a shortcoming that plagues the Conqueror. Within moments of receiving his superhuman strength, his mission is clear. He's got to kill Hitler. Whatever his other shortcomings, Bill Everett's patriotic hero didn't lack ambition. For 4 issues in 1941, the single-minded Conqueror stormed Europe in search of his target, along the way executing Nazi officers, agents, and spies, and lining his trail with wrecked remnants of the German war machine. Brutal, relentless, humorless, and dressed a little like a waiter in an ice cream shop, the Conqueror didn't skimp on action. His covers portray him leading a tank assault with his gun and knife drawn, choking Wehrmacht soldiers amid the chaos of battle on a fume-soaked battlefield and opening fire on enemy soldiers from point-blank range with a hefty stationary machine gun easily cradled in his arm. The fighting forces of Uncle Sam in deadly combat promised every cover of Victory Comics, and the Conqueror did his part to make sure the quota of deadly conflict was reached. The Conqueror's stories are so densely action-packed that his origin had to be covered in a 2-page text piece elsewhere in his debut issue. It couldn't be allowed to cut into the deadly combat, right? When amateur pilot Daniel Lyons crashes his plane near the Rocky Mountains, he's saved by Dr. James Norton, the Cosmic Ray Professor, himself. You've heard of him, right? Under the reclusive scientist Cosmic Ray Lamp not only heals the young man's injuries, but also easily doubles his strength, mental acuity, and vitality, powers that Lyons almost immediately dedicates to the destruction of the Fuhrer. Wartime superheroes were never the subtlest characters, but the Conqueror really ramps up the rhetoric. He interrupts a gathering of Nazi agents in the middle of saying, "Hail Hitler," to interject, "Hail murderer, you mean." But he also refers to Hitler as the Beast and keeps the laser focus on his mission. Other superheroes who made the Nazis their personal targets, were at times distracted by saboteurs, crooks, gangsters, thugs, and the occasional weird creature or supervillain, but not the Conqueror. For him, it was always Berlin or bust. Unfortunately, the outcome was bust. After 4 appearances, the Conqueror folded, along with his magazine, leaving the dispatching of the Fuhrer in the capable hands of the Allied forces. Ooh. And that was the Conqueror.
All right.
And now we go to the Silver Age.
Okay.
And it's funny because there's a movie coming out about these guys.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure we haven't done this one, but this was created by Otto Binder and Kurt Swan, Crypto the Superdog. Otto Binder and Jim Mooney created Streaky the Supercat. Jerry Siegel and Kurt Swan, Comet the Superhorse. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Otto Binder and George Papp created Beppo the Supermonkey. And Edmund Hamilton and John Forte created Parody 2. They debuted in Adventure Comics number 293 and DC Comics February 1962. Their catchphrases are Woof, Winnie, Meow, and Eep Eep. They are none other than the Legion of Super Pets.
Oh, God.
The Legion of Super Pets is made up of, appropriately enough, the pets of Superman and his cousin Supergirl, each outfitted with costumes and possessed of their own superpowers. They were first assembled into a group to battle the Brain Globes of Rambat, aliens whose telepathic powers were of no use against animals. The founding members were Krypto, having been fired from Krypton in a test rocket built by Superman's father Jor-El. Superdog Krypto is reunited with his master when the rocket reaches Earth. There, the happy pup adopts the secret identity of family pooch Skip. Well, it's better than bark, Kent, right?
Oh, Monday was Friday.
Krypto was also a member of a second group of super pets, the Space Canine Patrol Agency, along with such super-powered hounds as the Fiery Hot Dog, the Prescient Precognitive Pup, and Tusky Husky, who could instantly grow powerful jabbing tusks at will. The next member, Beppo, the super monkey, was a lab animal, also launched from Krypton by Superman's father. He possessed all of Superman's mighty powers, but as an impish little monkey, he was given to mischief and antics. One hopes he never threw his super pieces around. Oh, God. Yes, it's written here, and I said it. And then there's Streaky, a regular old Earth feline. Supergirl's pet cat gains power similar to his owner's. After playing with a chunk of X-Kryptonite, Streaky's powers had a short lifespan, but he managed to stumble across X-Kryptonite regularly enough to fight evil alongside Supergirl. Comet, the most tragic and unsettling of the super pets, was a human archer named Byron, who hailed from ancient Greece. He crossed the mythological witch Circe and been turned into a centaur, and then, in a botched attempt to cure his condition, into a full-on immortal horse with superpowers. When a certain comet passes by Earth, Byron is restored to human form, and it's in this fashion that he and Supergirl fall in love. When the comet is gone, he returns to being her horse. With Supergirl unaware that her crush and her horse are one and the same, it's wrong to judge, but that relationship is messed up, man. I mean, can you imagine if they're... Never mind.
Meanwhile, at Club Caprice...
Thank you. That was my stepdad doing the sound effects for us in the background. That's exactly my point. God, who writes this stuff? That's why they're in the book. Although rarely called upon, the Legion of Super Pets adopts a formal code, establishes a headquarters, and even tests new applicants, such as their fifth member, Prodi 2, a telepathic alien mass of protoplasm capable of changing its shape. Okay. Oh, good Lord. And they always feature like a comic book cover on the side. And this one, The Revolt of the Super Pets.
A little extra. Prodi 2.
We got one more.
Continue on in the Legion of Superheroes as the pet to Chameleon Kid.
Oh, okay. Very good. Okay, and now for the modern age. Okay, created by Stan Lee and Paul Ryan. Secret superpower, reducing, reusing, and recycling.
Oh, God.
Redebuted in Ravage 2099, number 1, Marvel Comics, December 1992. Catchphrase, she wants some knuckles, you scrud. It's Ravage 2099.
I knew it. I knew it.
Yep. We had to go there. Someone's gunning for Ravage 2099 is what they say in the cover. All right. Stan Lee is practically a household name. What with having co-created or at one time or another written the adventures of practically every Marvel Comics superhero that is now lighting up the silver screen. In the 1960s, Lee oversaw the invention of the Marvel Universe. So in 1992, it only made sense that he would play a role in determining the shape of the Marvel 2099 series, a line of titles that depicted legacies of modern-day superheroes. Most of the books focused on the descendants of already established superheroes of the 20th century, but one of the title characters was brand new, Ravage. Ravage was as attuned to the 1990s as Stan's original co-creations had been in step with the 1960s. Gone was the relentless self-doubt and existential drama of characters like Spider-Man. Also in decline was the optimistic science can-do-anything message of the early Marvel Universe. No, the world of 2099 was a dismal, dystopian plutocracy run by corporations, and technology was the tool of oppression. Embracing both the environmental concerns of the decade and a permanent sense of irony that seemed to infuse the 90s, Ravage, in his civilian persona of the not-at-all-ominously named Paul Philip Ravage, was the head of ECO, a domestic paramilitary arm formed to fight polluters, sometimes with fatal results. While trying to expose corruption with his agency's ranks, Ravage is framed for murder. On the run, he arms himself, and here's that irony mentioned earlier. In garbage, decked out in scrap metal and discarded padding, wearing barbed wire as a belt, and shielding himself with, of all things, a hubcap. Ravage emerged from his origin looking like a dressed-down cousin to the decade's other heroes, but the junk-draped hero and his armory of refuse didn't seem to cut it. Several issues into his run, Ravage was revamped, returning to Lee's old standby, powers gained by radiation. After undergoing a life-saving radioactivity treatment, Ravage emerged with the ability to fire destructive bolts of energy from his hands. Another few issues went by, and Ravage was again rejiggered, this time acquiring a beast form from man's distant origins way before the ape. Complete with animal senses, deadly claws, and weird horns, Ravage ended up as a snarling man-monster flying around on a mutant bat. Where Ravage might have gone next is anyone's guess. At the end of his final appearance, he winds up dead at the hands of 2099 version of Dr. Doom.
We called it a mercy kill.
Well,
I mean,
that's that.
In order of popularity of 2099, it was Spider-Man, yeah.
Right.
X-Men, Hulk.
Okay.
And Ravager, it was like, you got the first one, so you got the first of the four. After you didn't care.
Right. Okay, and that is our adventure this week into the League of Regrettable Heroes.
And I think you're AFK.
Oh, am I? All right, hold on a second.
But, and we got a whole bunch of time.
Well, I have some updates to read. I always have updates to read, so.
There you go.
Hold on a second. Let me just put these away. Okay. We'll put that on the side for next week. What was that? What's going on? Wait, who looks like Ron if...
Oh, that's Gazzle Talks having a war of words.
Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, goodness. Who is this walking around? This DJ Sapper?
Okay. Don't know who that one is.
Who's this in front of us?
I'm checking the... I would recommend doing some maneuvering just to be on the safe side.
Doing what?
Anyway, usually when the tomb reading is done, we're close to the end.
I know, it's close to the end, I know, but we didn't do any updates yet, so... Let's see. I could start some. Okay, let's start with this one. This one this past Thursday. Marvel news for the TV series. Marvel lines up writers for Daredevil revival series. So old Hornhead is officially on his way back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Several months after Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio reprised their Daredevil roles in two different MCU projects, Marvel Studios, per Variety, has put a new show-running team in place for Daredevil revival series. To write the new series, Marvel has enlisted the team of Matt Corman and Chris Ord, who previously created USA's Covert Affairs. Corman and Ord will follow in the footsteps of Drew Goddard, Stephen S. DeKnight, Doug Petrie, and Marco Ramirez, and Eric Olson, all of whom served as showrunners for Daredevil when it was on Netflix, before the streaming service canceled the show. Olson revealed that he pitched them his own ideas for a fourth season. Regardless, it sounds like Marvel is moving in a different direction. It's also unclear if the revival will follow up on season 3's cliffhanger involving Wilson Bethel's Bullseye. The original Daredevil series aired 3 seasons on Netflix from 2015 to 2018. Cox headlined the show as Matt Murdock, the blind lawyer from Hell's Kitchen, who fought criminals by night as Marvel's Man Without Fear. Its cancellation famously stunned viewers, including its own writing staff, due to its consistently positive reviews. However, the decision to cancel the show was likely business-related. Later reports claim that when Marvel brokered its deal with Netflix, those characters wouldn't be able to appear in new productions for 2 years in the event of a cancellation. But thankfully, that hurdle was cleared 2 years ago. After 3 years away from the MCU, Cox finally returned to the franchise last December when he made a cameo as Murdock in Spider-Man No Way Home. In the same week, D'Onofrio showed up in Disney Plus's Hawkeye finale. Rumors about a proper Daredevil revival began circulating in March when a Production Weekly listing seemed to give away Marvel's plans. There's still no word on which cast members besides Cox might be returning, but presumably we can expect Eldon Henson and Deborah Ann Woll to come back as Foggy Nelson and Karen Page, respectively. Okay.
For some reason, I can see the tagline for that movie. Daredevil, yes. The movie. We're very, very sorry about Ben Affleck.
Well, I think this is just going to be season 4 of the series. This is going to be a continuation of the series. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked also some movies, so I'm going like, if he gets a movie, it'll be... We're very sorry about Ben Affleck.
Well, you know, I think after 3 seasons, I think they've already, you know, it's totally, you know. And after what Ben Affleck did with Batman, I think, you know, they forgave him for Daredevil. So, you know, I think they realize it wasn't his fault. So check this out. Nicole Cassell will direct Amazon's live-action She-Ra series. Yes, the live-action She-Ra series has found a director to whisk Amazon Prime subscribers away to Eternia. According to Variety, Nicole Cassell has signed on to helm the show's pilot. Amazon announced that the series was in development last September. The character She-Ra was introduced as Adora, the long-lost twin sister of He-Man, and she made her first appearance in a 1984 minicomic that accompanied her original action figure. She later starred in 1985's He-Man and She-Ra, The Secret of the Sword, before eventually getting her own animated series, She-Ra, Princess of Power, that same year. In 2018, Netflix rebooted the character with She-Ra and the Princess of Power, which ended its 5-season run in 2020. In addition to directing the pilot, Cassell will also serve as one of She-Ra's executive producers. DreamWorks Animation, which also developed the Netflix series, is executive producing as well. The project will mark the first time that the title character has appeared in live action, but for now, a series order isn't guaranteed. Variety also notes that Amazon still hasn't hired a writer for the show. Cassell is probably best known for directing 3 episodes of HBO's Watchmen. as an executive producer on the show. She shared in its 2020 Emmy win for Outstanding Limited Series. Cassell also received her own Emmy nod for directing Watchmen's first episode, but she ultimately lost to Maria Schrader for Netflix's Unorthodox. Over the years, Cassell has directed episodes of other shows like Better Call Saul, Westworld, Castle Rock, and The Americans. Most recently, she helmed the pilot for HBO's The Baby. There you go. All right, now this question. One's got me a little... Yes.
Now the big question, what? Will Dolph Lundgren be in it?
I hope not. Or if he is, maybe he'll be a low, he'll be a low-key, you know. He won't play He-Man. But
they could CGI him back to the 80s.
That's true. Okay, but this news. WandaVision's Matt Shakman will direct Apple TV Plus's MonsterVerse series. See, this gets me pissed. That's on Apple TV. That's bullshit. It's been several months since Legendary divulged plans to bring its MonsterVerse franchise to the small screen with a new spinoff on Apple TV Plus. Now, we finally know who will be sitting in the director's chair. The studio just confirmed that Matt Shakman has signed on to helm the first two episodes of the upcoming series. Okay, you can check out the announcement below where it says Matt Shakman, WandaVision, Game of Thrones, is coming on board to direct the first two episodes of the upcoming live-action MonsterVerse series on Apple TV+. Legendary announced the spinoff back in January.
Okay.
According to the show's logline, the story will focus on a family with ties to Monarch, the secret organization that monitors Titan activity all over the world. The series will take place after the original Godzilla, but before the events of its 2019 sequel, King of the Monsters. Showrunner Chris Black created the spinoff with comic book writer Matt Fraction. Joby Harold and Tori Tunnell were also executive produced via Safe House Pictures alongside Toho's Hiro Matsuoka and Takamasa Arita. Although Shakman has 20 years of directing experience under his belt, helming all nine episodes of Disney Plus's WandaVision caused his profile to skyrocket. His work on Marvel's first live-action series was critically acclaimed and earned him two nominations at last year's Emmy Awards. The show's success also convinced Paramount Plus to let him direct the next Star Trek sequel. In recent years, Shakman has also helmed episodes of Game of Thrones, Succession, The Boys, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He received his first Emmy nomination in 2020 for directing an episode of Hulu's The Great. In the meantime, Legendary is currently developing the MonsterVerse's next big screen entry as well. The follow-up to Godzilla vs. Kong will begin production in Australia later this year, with Adam Wingard returning to direct the sequel. Last week, former Legion star Dan Stevens booked a leading role to the new film. And Apple TV Plus hasn't announced a premiere date or an official title for Legendary's MonsterVerse series. Well, that's just great. It's going to be an Apple TV Plus.
So then brings the question, are we going to get Godzuki?
Who knows? Well, no, because it's going to take place before King of the Monsters. It takes place after Godzilla, but before King of the Monsters.
Okay.
So, when there was no Godzuki in those?
Yep.
Well.
They may try to do their monster version of Baby Yoda and the child.
Ah, that's true. And hide this one away from Godzilla?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But some sad news on the movie front from this past Wednesday. Warner Brothers has canceled HBO Max's Wonder Twins movie. After a surprise announcement earlier this year, HBO Max's Wonder Twins movie is no longer going forward. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the studio has canceled its plans to give Zan and Jaina their own feature film. HBO Max announced Wonder Twins in February with Adam Steikiel, Black Adam, set to write the script and make his directorial debut on the project as well. Last month, KJ Apa and Isabel May were chosen to headline the movie as Zan and Gina, respectively. Production was expected to begin sometime in July, but apparently Warner Media's recent merger with Discovery is to blame for the cancellation. Studio execs reportedly made the decision to scrap the film several weeks ago. Apparently, CEO David Zaslav has mandated that all DC movies shoot for a theatrical first release model. That's not too surprising, given the viability of comic book movies at the box office. However, other sources give different reasons for Wonder Twins' fate. One insider claims that the story was too niche for a mainstream audience, and another source suggested that the budget was too high for an HBO Max exclusive. Zaslav reportedly wants to cap budgets for all HBO Max only releases at $35 million. Prior to its cancellation, Wonder Twins reportedly had a $75 million price tag. Zaslav's mandate also leaves the future of other upcoming DC films in question. Warner Brothers was also developing new movies featuring Black Canary, Zatanna, and Static as HBO Max exclusives. But if theatrical first is the ultimate goal, then the studio must decide whether to release these films on the big screen or do away with them altogether. According to a third source, that is a very real possibility. No Wonder Twins movie.
Well, yeah, there goes least, before they get rid of the crossover on the CW, you gave us a tease of Gleek. At least have Gleek say goodbye or something.
Well, the whole thing is they canceled Legends of Tomorrow. After the season was over, they didn't get their proper send-off. What else did they cancel? Batwoman got canceled after the season was over. So they're not getting a proper send-off either. It's the death of the Arrowverse. Superman and Lois aren't coming back until after the, they're not coming back. This is what killed it. I think COVID killed the Arrowverse in the fact that none of these shows, what was safe was all these shows came back at the same time, right? Mm-hmm. So you could do the crossovers. The fact that some came back in the fall, some came back in the winter after the winter break, and some came back in the summer, you couldn't do the crossovers. If they all came back at the same time, you could do the big crossover event. But since COVID,
it was just cancel the entire CW already.
Well, that's what's going on. They're going to sell it to Discovery. Yeah, it's a good show. Yeah, Superman and Lois is a good show, but that and what's the other show? Superman and Lois and the other show that's on. There's only two shows that are coming back. And Flash is coming back. Flash is going to come back next year, but it's only going to be for like a half season, they said, for season 9. And that's only coming – yeah, they only said that's only coming back for half a season. Gotham Knights is going to be a new show on CW. That's two. Naomi got canceled after one season. So that's it. Naomi's done after one. Let's see. Arrowverse is gone. What was the show? Black Lightning got canceled after two seasons. Supergirl. Done. And we thought she was going to show up on Superman and Lois. And Superman and Lois, she has had no crossovers with anybody. Naomi had no crossovers with anybody. Black Lightning had no crossovers with anybody except that one event. And that was until his show was up. No, his show was still going on. I'm sorry. His show was going on. But even after they came back for the rest of that last season, there weren't any real crossovers. And since Supergirl ended, you figure she would come back on his show, because they were best friends. She hasn't made an appearance on anybody's show since then. I'm trying to think what else. Who else?
I think that's pretty much. Stargirl.
Stargirl's supposed to be on this summer. Stargirl's supposed to start up for the summer. And that's going to go until the fall shows start up. See, that's the problem, too. She was never introduced to any of the other heroes. Her dad, her stepdad, he was a member. He was a sidekick to the JSA. So he knows, like, what's his name? John Wesley Ship's Flash. But outside of that, we got 2 minutes. All right. But outside of that, you know, ever since like Flash went off, I mean Arrow went off, they haven't had any big crossovers. But like I said, because they're not all on the same, you know, time anymore, you know, during the same schedule. So it's hard for them to do crossovers.
Marcus goes, just give us Young Justice and the JLU back. I'll agree on the JLU. I'll agree on the Justice League Unlimited. Yeah.
Well, Young Justice is back on HBO Max. They're doing another. They're in the middle of another season right now.
Yeah, I would love to see the return of Timverse.
Right, that would be cool. Yeah, Young Justice is on. That's on right now. JLU, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what they're doing. And I keep hearing little hints that they were supposed to bring Teen Titans, the original Teen Titans cartoon, back.
Oh, yeah, I remember that teaser.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on. So before we run out of time, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you guys, it would just be me, Mad Viking, talking about this stuff all the time anyway. Enjoy your 90 seconds left. All right, so we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're not going to be on next week for the Memorial Day weekend here in the United States. Guys, enjoy yourselves. Watch those superhero shows, superhero movies, cartoons, etc. Read those comic books, read those superhero novels if you have any. Have a great time. Enjoy the 2 weeks without us. We'll miss you guys. Hope you miss us. Anything in closing you'd like to say, Mad Viking?
Let's see. On Dawn Radio, we will be coming up with the Greatest Generation podcast. And it's the episode everyone's been waiting for.
Ah, here we go. Six, I mean, seven of nine. Seven of nine appears.
This is the one. And say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. And enjoy seven of nine. This is when the ratings change for this show once and for all.
So this was the last of the third season. You know, that's when she comes in.
Right. Right, this is when she comes in. And after this, the ratings skyrocket. Everybody tunes in from season four on going, what'd I miss? What?
Who cares? 7 to 9.
That's right. Everybody starts recording this show on their VHS's, DVRs like crazy after this. Season four on. All right, 10 seconds left, guys. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Have a great one. Listen to all the Dawn Radio DJs. They rock. Embrace the dawn, I say. And enjoy the Greatest Generation podcast. You don't want to miss this episode. This is the one that changes everything, I tell you. Have a good night. Thank you, Mad Viking, for co-hosting. Thank you for tuning in. You guys rock. See you in 2 weeks for another Paragon Radio episode. I'm out of here. The show's over. Good night. Stick around. Good night. End of episode.